والذين كفروا بآيات الله ولقائه أولئك يئسوا من رحمتي وأولئك لهم عذاب أليم. Depression is not a new word. We hear it all the time. Someone is grieved about not having enough. Someone is distressed because of his family life. Someone is depressed about his business. Some is an over-concern of his child. A state of depression is general. Someone mildly depressed. Some advanced and some moderate. But this depression, and Allah speaks about it, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَلِقَائِهِ. One of the main reasons for depression, we ignore the fact that we're going to meet Allah Ta'ala. كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَلِقَائِهِ. أُولَٰئِكَ يَئِسُوا. They have become depressed. They become despondent. Because when there is the belief that you're going to go back to Allah Ta'ala, then it will be supported with two things. One is, we will say to ourselves, Inna Lillah. We belong to Allah Ta'ala. So when something belongs to me, then I can do what I want with it. You can't question me as to why did you do this in this manner. You planned your house in a certain manner. Can the next person ask you, why did you plan your house in that manner? It's your house. What you felt comfortable with, you planned, you designed. He can't come and ask you, why did you design your house in this manner? So it's a plan of Allah Ta'ala. And when it's the plan of Allah Ta'ala, he can design it as he wishes. And nobody can question his authority. لا يسألوا عما يفعلوا. He is not subject to any person's, not subject to anybody. So nobody can question his authority. So when this belief is right, it's settled in you, then you will not ask why. Because that belief has settled very firmly in you, right? The man that is walking on the street, do you ask him, why are you walking on the right side, why not on the left? Do you ask him? Don't ask him. Because you know, he can choose to walk in the direction that he wishes. Who are you to come and ask him that which side of the road you're walking on? So exactly the same when we belong to Allah Ta'ala. And belonging to Allah Ta'ala is not like a father and a son. No. The father didn't make the child, and he's not responsible for the child all the time. For a certain period he's responsible, after that you move your ways. Right? But can you say that you are enjoying a gift from someone else besides Allah Ta'ala? Everything is from Allah Ta'ala. You came in here by Allah Ta'ala's will, you go out, you come from Allah Ta'ala, and you go back to Allah Ta'ala. Right? And the fact that you come from Allah Ta'ala is so glaring, it's so clear. I ask, that life, can anybody give life? It is entirely Allah Ta'ala's gift. Life is the gift of Allah Ta'ala entirely. Nobody can give it. So he's given life, and he takes life when he wants. So you belong to him, and you belong to him entirely. So this belief has to be settled, entrenched. And entrenched very deeply into the mind. وَلِقَائِهِ. And also the belief that you're going to meet up with Allah Ta'ala. That again comes, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. belong to him, so he's got the right to do what he wants. And whichever way you look at the equation, you're going back to Allah Ta'ala. You came from him and you're going back. That means you're treading on foreign land, on alien land. It's just a transit. It's not your home. So you can't be at home here. That's a primary mistake we make, you know, be at home. You can get some comfort. I don't say you won't get the comfort, but you can't be at home here. One Hindu priest, he saw a buzhurg, and that buzhurg is living in a grand style, entourage, clothing, his mount is also superb, everything great, right? So that Hindu priest is telling that buzhurg, I can't understand this. See, you are saying that the world is a prison for a Muslim, and a jail, it's a prison for a Muslim, and a heaven for a kafir, right? But see your state, how you're living, 5-star, in fact, 100-star you're living in. Look at your mount, look at the clothing, look at your entourage, look at your house and your palace, right? And see me, such a destitute, hardly eating skin and bones. So it's supposed to be the other way around, that I am in Jahannam and you are in Jannat. So what that buzhurg did is, perhaps Allah Pak gave him some karamat, right? So he told that kafir priest, "All right, just put your foot onto my foot." He placed his foot and he says, "What did you see?" He said, "I saw Jannat and Jahannam." "It's alright. Compared to the Jannat that I belong to, what is this life here?" "So this is real prison then." "And compared to the Jahannam that you are dispatched to, going to be dispatched to, what is this life?" "It's like Jannat." So this was a Sahib Karamat Buzhurg. But I enjoyed the answer of Hazrat Mawlana Taimi Sahib Rahmatullah. He says that in this life, no matter what you go through, whatever enjoyment, or no matter what type of holiday you go to, right, top of the range. Someone was showing an article that in Paris, some place, exclusive places, their hotels, approximately R1 million a night, right? Approximately. But people get mad to go into those type of places. Whatever it is, Allah knows. But no matter what type of exclusive, exciting holiday it was, but are you totally at rest in those places? Totally at ease? Absolute ease. Because it's in your mind, tomorrow I have to pay for the fees. And tomorrow they'll get me out from this place here. I came here, I booked in for one night, but they want me to stay here for more than a night. And can I have the complete freedom here? Can I blast the music, full blast? Can I do it? So no matter what I talk about, but I can't get the full enjoyment, full freedom here. The fact that now I'll have to do this, I'll have to hire the taxi, the Uber, I'll have to pay the bill for the next morning, that brings about some level of discomfort. So this life is designed that you shouldn't be totally comfortable with this life. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا كَيَا اللَّهَ سَيْدْ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا against us of again, لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَدُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاتْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا. But the first line, لَا يَرْجُونَ, they have no concern about meeting me. Rajal has got different meanings. لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا, no concern about meeting me. and they're quite comfortable with this life. And they became very complacent. Right? وَرَدُوبِ الْحَيَاةُ وَالَّذِينَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ. They are dispatched for Jahannam. So you see this depression where it comes from. Where you have got no concern about meeting Allah Ta'ala. You don't have the feeling in your mind that I'll have to end up this life, I have to go to a different realm. You don't think that this is just a transit lounge. You don't think that this is not a permanent abode. So how can I improve your lifestyle? Do this, do this, do this. And then when we look at today's life is just to improve the lifestyle, right? And the lifestyle means what, four things, right? Try and work on your health, body, right? Work on your body, work on your home. So working on the body, several things. Look for a nice house, you know, look for a nice food. Organic, right? Nice food. Nicely prepared. Right? Nice food, nice house. Right? Second thing that we all will look for, right? Again, it's just the comfort of this body. A little bit of good vehicle to move around. Number three. Right? Number four is this, some good holidays also. Right? And number five is some material security. So anything else, so all it's all about just improving the lifestyle. And the lifestyle is these five things. Nothing beyond. Right? Not realizing that you have to come to an end. And that end is so unpredictable, nobody can predict the end. Nobody knows about it. And all our efforts are just directed at these five things. All efforts. Eat like this, don't eat like that. Go this holiday, drive this type of a car, this type of material security. So all the effort is just towards this. Right. So as though now our bodies have just become, in the words of Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, an export and import agency. To import and export. Import and export. Anything else? But just do it comfortably. You're importing nicely and you're exporting it comfortably. But is that the meaning of life? Is that what we're living for? But when we analyze our life, these are the five things. And then the concept and the yakin of the real abode has vanished from the mind. We look from the morning till now and to the evening, how much we have done for this life and how much for the permanent life. Everybody can examine himself, how much he does for this life and how much for the permanent life. See that? Liar Junadi Khan starts off. The whole problem starts off Liar Junadi Khan, no concern about meeting. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُهُمْ. That is to comfort the mind. Is to comfort your emotions. How does it comfort your emotions? In this manner, that in any way I'm going back there. We are going back there. And that's the real abode. When that's the real abode, then I need to be very, very enthusiastic about reaching my abode. Right? See, you in the transit lounge, right? You're at ease. You're on the plane, you're at ease, right? But the actual ease, when does it come? When you reach the abode. You flew somewhere, wherever it was, Cape Town, wherever. Now you're on the transit lounge, then you boarded the plane. But I ask you, when do you feel totally relaxed? Totally relaxed when you're at home. So that's the real abode, the actual abode, the permanent abode. Then do we invest in that? Do we think about it? Do we understand the reality? Or that's just by the way, make this life work out. You know, I get so depressed, you know, not depressed but disappointed when people say, oh, this business here, that business, eating all right, sleeping all right, so what's the big deal now? You didn't have one loaf, you had half a loaf, but you ate, you slept, you had a good family, so what else you need? in the precincts of the Jama Masjid Delhi, these two saintly persons, Sarmad and Harabara. Harabara seems to be the sheikh, and Sarmad seems to be the murid. So Sarmad got some of his poetry. Very, very great saintly person. He says that fakir, he doesn't own much. He eats a dry bread, a bit of salt water, and all that he eats, he's done for the day. And the wealthy person eats kebabs and roast and toast and braai and all that. He also sleeps. After he's eaten, both sleep the same. But the morning, there's no taste left in your taste buds. For that 1-2 hours, you get that enjoyment, the smoke, fire, the food being dished out, the eyes, etc. After 1-2 hours, everything is finished. So you sleep the same, he sleeps the same. In fact, that poor person may sleep better. The quality of his sleep may be better because his stomach is not rumbling and grumbling. You push down all that meat, and then after that, cold drinks and the coleslaw and everything inside, right? And then after you put that coleslaw, then you're going slow also. He had the simple food, so he had no problems going one way, and he's over with it. So he says that poor person, he eats, right? And also he finds the satisfaction, right? And the wealthy person eats, he finds his satisfaction. So remember, some things nobody can avoid. The king and the king of the kings of this world and the poorest of the poor sleeping in the streets, both have to go through it. Everybody, same, have to go through it. Right? In the midst of your sleep, you the same, the king and the pauper. The midst of your sleep, aren't you the same? The pauper actually doesn't fear. He's living in the John Doe's informal household, right? No fear. And the king can sleep without 100 security. In 100 security, some parachute, whatever, helicopter took after him, see signals and all that, all the time. Gets up in the morning, gets up at night, all the people around there. So in India, there's kings, you know, there's Mughal kings. So they have to have some people to cheer them up, make them feel lively, because they're listening to depressing stories all the time. So they need someone to just cheer them up. So he had one Muslim and he had one Hindu, right? So the Hindu's name, I think, was Mulla Dopyasa, I think that was the name, or maybe some other name. So one day now, Shah Jahan, whoever the king was at the time, he got up in the middle of the night to see everything is absolutely covered in darkness. Now king, he was scared now, it's absolute darkness. So anyway, after some time he saw that this Mulla Dopyasa, that Hindu, and so what happens? No, everything is dark, I don't see anything. He says, no man, you missed the point. He's telling the king, you missed the point. You see, when your Rasul Paksam came to this world, Adha'at Minhu Kullashi, he brightened the whole world. When he came into this world, then he brightened the entire world. Now you are scared that it's so dark now, right? Then underground, how dark will it be? Right? That's what your scare is. So when he came to this world, he brightened everything. And when he went underground, he brightened the underground life. This side is brightened, and he brightened it underground for you. Right? So sometimes, that life becomes brightened because of the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You brighten your whole life of the hereafter. As you ushered in, then you forget everything, all the worries are gone, and the life is totally bright. But that life is brightened through the sunnah and the ways of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Hindu also knows it, that life is brightened with the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You brightened everything here, but kabar ka kya intizam kya? You made all the arrangements here, but what arrangements did you make for that life? So the greater concern is the brightness for that life And that life is such a reality. You see when you go to the Qabristan, right? Whenever. So the person in the Qabr, he's boxed up from all sides. From top, from below, from the sides, from front, behind, right? And life, you know, enjoyment of life, what does it require? Two things. Expression and access. You have access to all type of food, places, etc., right? Your friends, all that. Access. And you can express your feelings. That's life. And now you're boxed up and you're caged up, you can't express and you can't access anything. Then? Right? And the roof is just about half a meter above you. You see you're boxed up, right? And sometimes less than half a meter. See? Right? So much is above you. So there's no access to anything. So what brings about the happiness in that life? And that's a permanent life, right? And not only permanent, but it's absolutely uncertain. You did this and you did that, and your palatial home and business and holidays, right? But it's so uncertain of death. So uncertain of death. One friend of mine was telling me that his client built up a home, you know, about 60 million something it costed him, right? And mainly he did it for his son. So then they went for a cruise. On the boat they went off for the cruise, and on that boat, young son, just married now, 28, 30, he has some stomach problem. They saw him there to helicopter him because they found he had some cancer or something. And within days he passed away. Tried everything, but he passed away. So he went to see him, say, what a palatial room. So the man says, what's the good of this house when the apple of my eye is gone? Says, you did so much. But you did so much just for this life. And that thing is gone, life is gone. So the actual effort was supposed to be directed for some other abode. So that is why Allah Pak says, Ulaika ya'isu. They have really become despondent. Because you didn't arrange for that. You didn't arrange for that at all, right? You're going to a different land. From here now, you're moving on to Argentina, right? You came at the airport. No arrangements, absolutely nothing. Can you imagine how you'll feel there at the airport? How you'll feel? No arrangements, no homes, no transport, no food, no clothing, and it's midwinter, right? Going to -5 degrees. How will you feel? So that person is despondent because he's made no arrangements, absolutely no arrangements. So this whole khanqa and this whole tasawwuf is for what? It's aimed at what? Try and work out what is it aimed at. What are you trying to get at through the khanqa? The khanqa, in short, in very simple language, is aimed at giving you a safe journey to your permanent abode. Helping you to make your journey across to your permanent abode easy. Simple, easy, enjoyable. Right? You know you're going there, and now what do you do to make it secure, to secure it, and make this journey across very, very comfortable? That's what it's aimed at. Right? And there's other things going to the play, but this is what it is aimed at. Because the world has been designed that nobody can claim to be totally independent. The wealthiest of the wealthy, he requires the service of the poor to run his business. Can he run his business without them? And the poorest of the poor requires the wealthy to run the business, right? To run his business. Can he run without them? The poor requires the wealthy requires the poor. So in this manner, جَعَلَ بَعْضَهُمْ بَعْضًا لِسُخْرِيَا. One person has been subjected to the other. Right? So when in this life, you can't run independently, can you run independently to the hereafter? This life, small little needs, not even a mosquito's wing, right? That how the hadith describes it. You require someone, right? One is a first aid, paramedic, then a doctor, then a specialist, and a specialist surgeon. So many people you require, right? For this life, it's so complicated. You need so many people just to make your life comfortable. So that life that is your permanent abode, don't you require anybody's service, any guidance, any assistance and support for that life? So if you need it, then are you taking that support? Are you asking, reaching out for that support? That's what's supposed to be asked, right? You can talk about Israel and whatever else, right? Well, as we carry on here, like, so, you know, the war is taking place there, and now we are the referees. Who's winning and who's losing, what they're supposed to be doing and what they're not supposed to be doing. As though now we're managing the whole thing. Pray. So the akal se kaam lo. Manage your own life. You're not going to manage them. Can you manage them? Can you control them? You can't control them, but you can control you, yourself. So are you controlling your own life? Your own life. And when you come here, then you're worried about what he's doing and what that person is doing. But what are you doing? Are you controlling yourself? Are you taking care of yourself? First is you, when you got money, right? Then the first concern is my comfort. Then others, right? So your deen now, is that your primary concern, or what he's doing and what that person is doing? So Qiyamah is what about, and we're talking about having a safe journey across to Jannat. Making this journey safe to Jannat. A little bit of comfort, but a safe journey to the hereafter. That's what you are looking forward to. Right? So without the assistance of someone, you can't be safely reaching. That's how Allah Ta'ala structured life. A small little toothache, call a dentist. Can you fix it up yourself? Small complication in the car, call some mechanic or someone. Can you fix it up yourself? Right? You go home after hard day's work, you meet a wife to prepare the curry kish, whatever it is, right? So you need so many people just to make this life enjoyable. So, what do you require to make this journey enjoyable? Can you do it yourself? Now, that's what happened to the biggest mistake today is this. I'm quite certain about it, that this is the biggest mistake. Whether they're pious or impious, whether they're educated or not educated, but this is the biggest mistake they've made, that they don't see the need to attach. In the words of Imam Thamisab Rahmatullahi, not just attach, but bilkul manusiyat honi chahiye. You become very much acquainted, very much familiar. And then that hadith is quoted, you know, where on the occasion of the Sulh Hudaybiyah, right? Well, Umar radiallahu anhu is very much agitated at the Quraysh and how they behaving at that time. He presents some questions to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but his agitation against the kuffar is not yet satisfied. So then he goes to Abu Bakr, and the same questions that he directed here, he directed to Abu Bakr. The answers that he got from Rasulullah SAW, from Abu Bakr, was exactly the answer that he got from Rasulullah SAW. So the acquaintance was so great that what was flowing into the mind of Nabi SAW went on to Abu Bakr. So that requires that you need that level of compatibility. And now there's absolutely no concern. Are we connecting? Are we asking? Are we making ourselves comfortable? Are we making ourselves agreeable? For the Shaykh to make himself agreeable to everybody is difficult. You have 100 people, right? Can he now make himself compatible to everybody? Yes, others can try to make themselves compatible. They can try. In the old also they did it, right? I need to make myself compatible to the Shaykh. I am muftaj. I need to have a safe journey across. I need to get to Jannat and safely. When I need to get across safely, then I need the services. For a small little worldly journey, we need too many kuffar. You need a kuffar plane. Allah Ta'ala maaf kare all the women that you need. All this, you need the service on the plane. All that just to make a small journey from here to Kenya, or to Nairobi, or to Jeddah. It's a small journey, but you need so many kuffar services, and you feel yourself obligated, you want that service. So the journey of the hereafter, you don't need anybody. You don't need to attach yourself, no connection, come, talk, and then carry on. Are we thinking rightly? Are we understanding rightly? If this is a genuine concern, the hereafter is a genuine concern, definitely our whole attitudes would have been different. Right? As Abu Bakr sees that the attachment he's got is such, right? He says, we are on the Safar to to Medina, right? On the occasion of the Hijrat. So he milked that goat and he presented it to Rasulullah Sallallahu. Now see the compatibility and the agreeability in the heart. He says, فَشَرِبَ حَتَّى رَدِيتُ. Nabi Sallallahu drank the milk until I got satisfied. But you see the agreeability, the compatibility and the understanding. So that is what is required. Because the Sahaba-i-Kiram all tried the same. They tried to get the proximity and the muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah disliked something, even though it was not makruh or something, not makruh, right? But he wasn't agreeable. He was not agreeable just for his pleasure, they left it out. As Aisha says, that I don't apply hina because Rasulullah didn't like the smell. So, but the hina itself, can you see, is makruh, not makruh. But Rasulullah did not like that smell. And just to save him from that little bit of inconvenience, I didn't do it. Why? Even the wife had that type of understanding that although I'm the wife, although I'm everything to him, right? But I need to understand that I'm not just the wife, he's my Rasul as well. So at any given time, what will make him happy? See where the minds were. At any given time, what will make him happy? What will please him? What will satisfy him? That is why then you see, when it is Umar and he's about to pass on, right? And then he says, I don't see anybody deserving this place here, but those people that Rasulullah was pleased with when he left the world. So that means they could earmark and they could make out, alright, these are the people that Nabi Sallallahu was really pleased with. How he interacted, how he spoke with them, how they related to him. So Nabi Sallallahu could see now, alright, these are the people. And people could also observe, okay, these are the people that Rasulullah is really, really pleased with. So now that attachment is gone. When that attachment is gone now, then how you want that benefit to pass on? The benefit passes on when there is that compatibility, that agreeability. So now there is agreeability, there is compatibility with the wife and the child. Biwi kya kahegi? Is she happy or not? I bought one bangle, what about the other one, you know? One ring, the other one ring. Right. And the phone, every now and then phone. And I got a smartphone, she must have a smartphone. So everything about keeping them happy. Now it's a holiday, I must take them for a holiday. It's already planned in advance. And I did just cross the lines with them. I must never cross the lines with them. See, now the whole thing is about Biwi. That's why the hadith says it. When your reference point becomes your wife, then every matter must be decided by your wife. Or generally, your matters must be decided by your wife, right? And the wealthy of your community are the miserly people, right? Then the belly of the earth is better for you than the surface of the earth. But if your matters are being conducted with mashwara, it means your seniors, right? And the wealthy are good people, the administrators and the rulers are fair, then the surface is better than the stomach of the earth. Now we examine our lives and see that. Where our life, how we are operating. So this is such an important thing. The Quran says, insists, "Kunu ma'as sadiqin," join the ranks of the truthful. True. They are true to Allah Ta'ala. They are true to people. But now, we don't want to take that. We don't want to take it. But I ask you, if you're going anywhere, do you ask your wife? Or you just go? Tell me the truth. So the sheikh is nothing. Well, he came, he didn't come, didn't ask him, it's alright. But the wife must take the permission before leaving. Because we know, the qiyamah can come. It's supposed to come after 5 years, it comes straight away. We know about it. So you see, the attachment is just about pleasure. The wife is for pleasure. That I don't want any type of disagreement in the house. So therefore, just to maintain the peace, let me tell her nicely, when I go to Cape Town, I bring sour figs, I bring all that, the barukat from there. So the whole thing is about pleasing that person. Islam also encourages you to do it. But it didn't ask you to become zan murid, but to become the murid of your wife. That's what happened today. the wife and the children became the murid. And then when your mind goes like this, in a few years the wife will age up and the children also will distance from you. Few years. In a few years they'll distance themselves from you. Now when they come and talk to you, they're going anywhere, they don't need to subject themselves to you because you didn't subject yourself to yourself. So the whole thing will turn around. The whole thing will turn around. No compatibility, no understanding, nothing, absolutely dry. Relationship is dry. Now you are wondering, why am I not progressing? I'm doing it, but I'm not progressing, making the zikr, Quran, but no progress. Because there is no compatibility. And Allah Pak has designed it in such a way that proportionate to your compatibility is the progress. And the proof for it is Al Mar'u Ma'aman Ahab. Sahaba Ikram themselves, as Allah says, the amount of happiness and satisfaction we got with this hadith, we didn't get with anything. Because we knew our love for Nabi Sassam was definite, was certain, right? So every move you're making, Umar radiallahu anhu is going for Umrah, you're asking Ijaz, Azina Nabi Sassam, I'm going for Umrah. La tansana fi du'aika, la ashrikna fi du'aika. See that? Small moves, big moves, but they are getting it past to Nabi Sassam, finding out what should I do. And the love for Nabi Sassam was at that limit. We compare our love. Al Mu'tamid says it very beautifully. He says, you know what we are doing today? It's a beautiful article he's got there. He says, we got some of our own inclinations, right? That own inclination that we've got, we have to force it into the hadith. Somehow to prove from the hadith, but it's our own thinking and our own inclination, right? Now someone is angry like me, right? He's a little bit temperamental, like I said myself, Allah forgive me. But now you have to look for some type of an answer in the hadith for your anger. Yeah, see, that person found out, فَضَالَّةُ الْإِبِلْ مَالَكَ وَلَهَا لَهَا سِقَاؤُهَا وَحِزَاؤُهَا تَرِيدُ الْأَنْهَارِ إِجْمَرَّتْ وَجَنَتَعْ. Nabi Sassam got disappointed with that question. See, Nabi Sassam expressed his anger. That person that spat on the direction of the Qibla, Nabi Sassam got angry with him. لَا يَأُمُّكُمْ أَبَدًا. He mustn't become the Imam anytime. People are talking on Taqdeer. Nabi Sassam got very disappointed with that. See, Nabi Sassam expressed his anger. So see, when expressing my anger, so that is in keeping with the Sunnah. So anybody found something, and you force it into the Sunnah. Now someone got a habit to wear lungis here. See, the Sunnah I'm practicing on. Nabi Sallam always wore it. Now you got a habit to do it, so now that became the primary. Putting on the turban, now that became the primary thing. But the real way to check out is this. Mukhallat about his words. Get your mind absolutely clear. Look into the essence of the hadith. What was the lifestyle of Rasulullah Sallam? What he worked for, what he pined for, what he lived for, what was his style, what was the concern? So that must be the concern, that must be your concern. What he lived for, what he pined for, what he worked for, what he made figure for, that must become. Now you've got one thing and you find some way to fix it in the hadith. No, he did this. So that no, kana yuhibbul halwa. He liked halwa, so eating chocolates. Nabi Sallam liked it. But I say, is that fair to the hadith? Look what was his effort. Your father got a business, right? And he's concerned about the business, picking up, maintaining very well, right? So now you left all that. Now my father used to wear a green hat. So I must wear the green hat. Hazrat Ji passed away, you know. I said, bhai, Hazrat used to wear this type of hat. And Hazrat used to sit always the shawt or like this, right? So don't make that your primary concern. See, what was his whole life aimed towards? His whole life was to serve people. Sitting there in the khanqa all the time, 24/7 time. The whole bundle of tickets, come to Africa, come to London, come to Canada here. Ye log mere paas aate hain, main kahan bahar jaan nikal sakta hoon. See what is his concern, primary concern. So you took the one, two things, and you made that Hazrat Ji, and the primary concern, gussa paas na aaye, his heart is free of all kina, His worst enemy also, he talks to him. He knows that they are planning against him. But he'll talk to them so nicely, so comfortably, that the enemy also becomes a friend. But that was the life. That was he worked for. That is what he strived for. But that's all forgotten. No, Hazrat used to sit like this. He used to wear this type of a topi. And he wouldn't chase the fly when the fly came on. So I must do that. No, I am Hazrat Ji now. I say, why? Akal ke dushman, akal kaha mari gayi? What he worked for, do you look what he worked for? Your father's shop, he wants a shop to run. So no, my father is always a green, and likes a green car. So I'm going to do that. His business, his speaker, right, that everything is out of the window. That it becomes the primary concern. I say, why? Have you captured your father's speaker? Try and understand. So that requires, keep your mind out of it. Keep your own business out of it. Now look into the hadith. What Rasul really loved. Now you come to terms, alright, this is what he loved. But that generally happens, Allah made it such that وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. You can't get it without following. He said, سَابِقُونَ الْأَوَلُونَ, right? He speaks about the forerunners, Muhajirin and Ansar. And the rest of the people, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Then you must make ittiba. And ittiba, how do you follow? You follow with a passion, impassionate. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. What do you do here? How do you do it here? How do you work it out here? At any given moment, that's the primary concern. That you can say now. That's the person that's online. Otherwise, you're just selective. What? We are being selective. Well, this was the kurta. Now that became a big masla. Must be slit or must not be slit. There's so many important things to worry about and to be concerned about. That's out of the window. This becomes the primary thing. Performing the namaz with jamaat, that's the primary thing. But that becomes the secondary thing. Coming early to the masjid, primary. So all these things that were the primary concern of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now tell us, we think of ourselves, right? I'm not being now rude and picking on anybody, right? But the thought just passed my mind, right? The whole holiday went 15 days, right? And what was the extent of the fikr of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seen in our lives in this 15 days? What was the extent of the Mubarak fikr of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What was his fikr? You say in the hadith, Da'im al-fikra, mutawasir al-ahzan. So, what was the extent of that fikr, that concern, that type of mind in that 15 days? Can anybody of us say safely, no, alhamdulillah, I was in that? Can anybody say that? I used to hear the Haji, whether holiday in all day, Ramadan, no Ramadan. On spot, one person is coming, going, second person coming, going, third person coming, going. Right till Isha. Right till, and he's doing his correspondence. Letters after letters. So, the whole life is about service. Teaching someone and serving. Teaching and serving. Hazmo Tami Sabrahman. So, you know, this Buzugana deans, their minds, you want to be group with them, right? You know, we're talking of having a safe journey, right? And one of the names of Qiyamah, right? One of the names of Qiyamah is Yomul Fasl, Umtazul Yom, Waidan Nufus Zuvijat. People will be sorted out according to their likes and according to what they committed themselves to. You sort it out accordingly, right? Right? So it's a very difficult moment. You sort it out according to what you liked and people that you followed, people that you had glorified in your lives. You took them as your leaders, right? So you are grouped up accordingly. And I was just counting the Quran, about 12 places I found the same thing. إِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ هَذَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. So many places you can't even find one another, that this is a day of sorting out. This is a day that you're going to be grouped. So what have you? Iske liye kya taiyari, kya intizam kiya? He was talking about the Mount Hamis Abraham Tari. He's in his deathbed, right? Now on his deathbed, right? And then there is a heavy security around him. Nobody must sneak in. Because the doctor says, well, perhaps you've got a heart problem or something, and nobody must come and meet you. Now, you know, I put the person in the ICU. So the ICU treatment was being done in the house. Right. Now, somehow Hazrat got to know that Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullah is around. So he said, hey, just sneak him inside. Without Mauli Shabir getting to. Shabir is his nephew, and our Shabir will get very, very angry. You can't see how Hazrat is feeling now. He's battling for life, and you're all just coming in. You know what? He knows how Shabir will take it, right? Now, all this is now, see, Kare Ashika, ya Nizai Ashika, Tar Kare Rab, Joshe Ishkas, Nabe Adab. See, all these people have, they got Muhabbat, right? And they got a dispute within themselves. So the dispute is not because of malicious intent. No. Because he feels that this is what Hazrat would like more. This person feels, so it's because of Muhabbat that they are fighting. It's not because of malicious intent. So anyway, they got Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib inside. Now, Hazrat says, you know that you're writing the Ahkamul Quran, and the Ahkamul Quran, so this ayat here, what tafsir have you made? I said, no, I think you can just include this. Some other time I'll tell you the whole thing, right? But you can just include this. Anyway, it was over. Mr. Shabir heard it, and he went out. Now, Shabir got him. Kuch riayat nahi karta in Hazrat ki. No consideration. Shabir knew what was going on. He kept quiet, and he moved on. So then they complained to Hazrat Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah, you know your health now, and you're getting people sneaked out into the room. How is, you know, the Hakims and the doctors are telling you, don't meet anybody. Why are you doing this? Now look at his answer. So that's what I say, get that fikr of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Get that concern, that khyal, that fikr, get that. Then you are coming close. Right? So Hazrat's words were at that time, imagine now he's between life and death, right? And there's hardly any movement. Right? Everything is dependent. But at that time also, see the figure of the Ummah. So he says, you know, when I can't be an asset to my brothers, right, I'd rather be dead. What? If I cannot be an asset for my brothers, doing something for my brothers, I'd rather be dead on that day. But you see this khidmat, teaching, learning, writing something, working out the problems of Ummah, was such an overwhelming thing in these people here. I saw these people and how they were working. That night and day, figure, this is a figure. What can I do here? How can I bring it alive? The sunnah is dying now. How can I revive the sunnah, right? This person here, we need to talk to him. How do we get him right? How do we speak to him? So the whole concern, holiday, no holiday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday, Monday, wherever, that was the concern, primary concern. Allah give us that tawfiq. Right? All what we are doing, I think we need to review this. We will not say that it's totally haram what we're doing, but perhaps our vision is not like it's supposed to be. And then that has to be done under the supervision of the senior. Otherwise, after half a month of journey, you know, you've got 1 month to work, half a month, then you realize, you know what, I strive so much, but I didn't do it the right way. When I didn't do it the right way now, I am so much more backwards. But when you get this association, your thinking goes right. For Ustad Darul Deoban, Miraj al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah. So he's on the ship, going for Hajj. So now this must be around 1940 somewhere, 55, 50 somewhere. So in the ship they got a place allocated for performing namaz. So now 1950s we are talking of, and someone had his radio just switched on in that place which was dedicated for namaz. So one bichara, very bichara mewati, farmer, diati, doesn't know much, he saw this. He said, this is a place for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, not to disrupt people. It's not to disrupt people from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Now that was a villager, a farmer, that didn't see his town life. Right? So Ustad Miraj Sahib says, that this person doesn't have the knowledge, but he acquired the spirit of deen on account of him associating with Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sabr. See that? Now, you have to give so much big bayans about the cell phone. Let's compare that. Yeah, this is a simple farmer, villager, doesn't know about life, doesn't know about deen. Right? He doesn't know the details. But has he acquired the spirit of deen? Number two is, when he needed to speak, did he speak out or not? Now, how much of us is ulama, and something wrong happens, and we have got the spirit to speak out? No, kharab lagega, fitna ho jayega. Main kyun kahun, bare bhi ho, yahan par bare keh denge. But you see this, he captured the spirit of deen, and where it was supposed to be spoken about, he spoke about it. The radio didn't have anything kharab, it was just news or something, right? But it was not supposed to be in a place which is dedicated for namaz, obviously. But you see how much you get just with that association. Otherwise, you get the words and lifeless. But you get the words perhaps. You may be master in the words, but without life. Kuntum amwatan fa'ahyakum, aw man kana maytan fa'ahyina. So this hayat, real life, how it comes? It comes with Islam. And Islam comes when you subject yourself. Kunu ma'as-sadiqin. Now you don't want to subject yourself and you want Islam. How do you want it to happen? You don't want to subject yourself, but you want the true Islam to come into you. So, ikhyalast wa mahalast wa junoon. Ikhyalast wa mahalast wa junoon. It is just the thought, right? It is impossible and it is madness. But like you're asking now, you want a child. You want a child. Now there's a whole procedure. Allah Pak has created. I see you're dependent. You're sitting one side making zikr, Quran Sharif. You have to go through the process to get the child. So this righteousness and getting the sunnah and getting the mizaj of Islam, you have to connect yourself. Whether you like it. So therefore Allah Pak said, for people after the Sahaba Kiram, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. He didn't say وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا النَّبِيَّ بِإِحْسَانِ. Did he say that? Did he say what he said? وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ. That means there'll be a line of people, one connecting to the other, to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So he saw his elder saw his elder, and so forth and so on, until they reached up to the Sahaba Kiram. That's the only way. Because the hadith also say, وَيَكُونُ الْخُلَفَاء فَيَكْسُرُونَ. لَا نَبِيَ بَعْدِ. After me, there's no Nabi. But there'll be vicegerents, right? And there'll be vicegerents in abundance. So, every zamana will have a vicegerent of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, what is our requirement is we see, alright, is he the vicegerent? We see that figure is there. The main aspects of deen, does he have it? Concern, the fikr, the dard, the pain for the ummah, does he have it? Now we see him going in that line, right? After we've seen the person, then we hold on him. Then we create the compatibility. Then we link up. Right? And we link up like how a coach links up to a coach. So where the first class reaches, the third class also reach. Second class also reach. Everyone reach where that first class has reached, right? But the condition is you link up. See, this linking up, that's the cry of the time. Well, that used to see, I could see that time, you know. And I should wonder what he's saying. He stayed there, alhamdulillah. And until he passed away, every Ramadan he should go there, right? Link up, right up. So you create a bond, right? Now we don't want to do all these type of things. Don't write up, don't talk, don't... But we want that bond, we want that meet up with the Sahaba Kiram. Is it going to happen? Does it happen? So, another issue at that time, mahabbat ka piyasa. I don't see that. I'm seeing it now, what Hazari is complaining about. He passed away in 92. So, it's over 34 years, right? He passed away. And what he spoke about at the end of his life, now I'm seeing it now. That bonding is not there, that compatibility is not there. That concern that we should create a compatibility, that's not there. Now, how is it going to happen? Allah Akbar.